And we welcome you to the third edition of the Post-Postgame Podcast, Aledo Bearcats Podcast. Bearcats tonight in action. District opener, they came in at 1-1 overall, and also sporting not only the number one ranking, but also an 84-83 game district win streak dating back to October of 2007. Could they keep that alive against the ninth-ranked team in the state, the Centennial, out of Burleson, Centennial Spartans? Yeah, a lot of people were going, maybe this could be a bit of a test. But when all was said and done, a lot of what happened last year, these two teams met a year ago. Bearcats were a 63-16 winner in that one. And basically, Centennial, despite being a really nice ball club, shot themselves in the foot. Six turnovers in that game. They'd fumble it nine times. A little bit of that tonight as well. And Aledo was able to open up a huge margin. There was a bit of a flurry from Centennial in the late third, early fourth. Got it down to a 19-point game, but Aledo then pulls away late. 63-30, the final. Last year, Bearcats ran the table, of course, as I kind of alluded to a moment ago. Centennial, opening district game, lose that to Aledo. They ran the table from there. In fact, played until Thanksgiving. Didn't lose until the regional round of the playoffs, and I would suspect that may be what we're in for again this year. But Aledo does get the win here tonight, and joined by Kevin Lonquist, John Hampton. I'm Jeff Williams. Now 2-1 on the year and off to a nice start. And still, when we talked about this last week, Kevin and I did, Kevin, coming through the first two games, Jake Bishop has a perfect quarterback rating if you apply NFL, that quadratic equation to it. Perfect. He comes out of this one, same story. He was almost perfect tonight, 15 of 18, five touchdown passes, no interceptions, just shy of 300 yards through the air. And he's really been a huge key for them offensively. And you know, teams may score some on this young defense, but that offense, good luck stopping them.
You know, Tim Buchanan made the comment in the postgame show with us is that, who are you going to stop? Because obviously Centennial's plan tonight was to try and attack Jace McClellan, and a couple of times they were able to do that, but Jace wound up with about 175 yards rushing. And still, when you have an offense as diversified with explosiveness like they have between Money Parks, who had four touchdowns, and then JoJo Earl, who had about 165, 170 receiving yards tonight, what do you do?
But only one touchdown.
Yeah, but only one touchdown. I mean, what do you do, John? I mean, it's like, it's kind of like the path of least resistance. But you don't have a choice. You've got to try and key on something. And then hope Aledo shoots itself in the foot somewhere.
Well, I mean, all right, so we're going to look up one day. There's not going to be a Bishop playing quarterback, right? And so, but since little Jake, now that he's a senior, since I guess the last 10 years, we've seen him run around. So he's quite literally an extension of the coaching staff. So on top of all the firepower and the skills that these kids have and a really great young, you know, offensive line building together, you have a quarterback where this is a really slowed down game. I mean, this is not easy, but it's really not. It's not challenging cerebrally for him. And then you give him the weapons at his disposal. I mean, Jake Bishop, throw out any measurables. I mean, he is as on fire as any kid playing quarterback in Texas right now. Just, I mean, with his accuracy, his completion percentage has got to be up there. I haven't checked the whole landscape, but what he's doing for his offense, even with all the talent around him, he's still making, you know, incredible plays. He's putting balls on kids that are incompletions or drops. Typically, you know, they're not. He's not missing kids, and it's cool to watch because it's really slow for him.
Yeah, he's 51 of 63 for almost 900 yards and 11 touchdowns, no interceptions. He's right at 80% completion rate so far.
Yeah, he's not just putting it in the area for these kids. I mean, he's putting it on stride, and so they're turning into, you know, I mean, they're great receivers too. JoJo and Money have separated themselves into another sphere from a high school, running routes and catching and running after the catch.
Our play of the game in this game against Centennial was actually the final touchdown where Aledo had just made a stop, and – on a third down, Jake hits Money basically
on the money.
Money on the money on a post route where Money's got two defenders on him, and he puts it in the only place that Money can go get it. I mean, it's perfect. It's the quintessential Jake Bishop ball of 2019. That ball 2 years ago in 2017, it's not even close.
Might be picked.
Yeah, might have been picked.
Not over, underthrown it.
Last year, 50-50, that ball gets caught. This year, I mean, it's the precision of it is like you just you know, we get to see all these quarterbacks, all the Bishops and everybody else, even Cole Often, just their maturation through the system. And even because we're in the moment right now, but it almost seems like the progression that Jake has made versus the other quarterbacks that have come through has been more astounding than what I think anybody else we've seen in the 14 seasons we've done Aledo football.
Yeah, you can eyeball the progress he has made every year. It wasn't like, oh, he's still doing it. Every year he is noticeably and just dramatically better each season. Right now he's playing – as fine a football as you can do. Let's talk about the defense. This is a defense, obviously, that really struggled against Guyer last week. They get a shutout against a team that they should shut out. It's the Mexico team, pretty well coached, but from an athlete standpoint, Aledo had a huge advantage. So they come into tonight, and a game really they've been preparing for a couple of weeks. Trying to get ready for this one-off offense. And, yeah, you can look at the end of the day, they gave up 30 points. But I thought they made some huge strides here tonight. Coach talked about they got a little fatigued and they probably left them out there a little too long at times. But I thought they made a lot of plays. They're still giving up a lot of rushing yards. But, again, tonight the difference between this and what we saw against Guyer is they made stops when they had – they made stops. I guess really is probably the best way to do it. But this is a defense that's really young. And I can see, and you guys can weigh in on this, you can see that they are getting better help, that they got Logan Thurman back. Colin Johnson was back this weekend. Weston Reese had been hurt. He's back. Starting to get their personnel, and they'll develop more chemistry. But you can see the strides, I think, already that they've made, because this is a top-10 team, and they just took them to the woodshed.
Yeah. This is a team, too, where they probably – if they don't have an explosive offense, they're probably in for a rough night against Centennial. But because their offense is so dynamic, they can still kind of get better.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, ridiculous. They can kind of hide behind it a little bit and kind of work on some things to get better. And as we pointed out in the broadcast, Centennial plays a type of offense with that spread option where dive pitch, dive option pitch, where you won't see that. They probably won't see that again this year.
Midlothian kind of does a little bit of this.
But at the same time, it's just a question of how you get better. I think you bring up a great point. That will be interesting in a few weeks when they see Midlothian come here. I think it's in, first weekend of October.
Yeah.
How they will react to that kind of game, what they responded to. Because, they got caught a couple times on traps. They got burned. And they also got burned on a big 69-yard touchdown pass on a 3rd and 26 where they were out of position. So there's still some work to do. And this bye week comes at a pretty good time for them, John.
They'll take it. But it's been impressive to watch because, for so long there's been, if nothing else, there's been a big plug, dominant defensive tackle right over the ball. And that's not maybe the case this year. This is they physically are different as a defense, and instead of just getting, they're going to maybe give up some yards, but they still like. There's been more of an emphasis on rotation. There seem like a lot of bodies that they're still fresh. They're staying loose with, but they're using a lot more speed and slant type defensive moves that may take a little bit of time. And then once they start to click, it's going to have for a young defense. It's going to start to kind of really gel. And it's kind of quirky. You got to go. You play an option team. Then they'll go bye week, and then they'll get a few pro style. And then they'll go back to an option. But as this team settles in, I mean, they're being so well coached that defense is fundamental. If you're good at math, you're usually good in defense. I mean, you have to do A, then you have to do B, and then you have to do C, and only can you do that in order. So as the season progresses, I think we're going to see a much better defense. It's just a little bit foreign that we don't have that big 300-pound block, just roadblock defensive tackle. Just got to have a participation is breaking down a little bit different.
I think the front looked a lot better tonight. And obviously Logan Thurman's return makes that a different look on that front. But you could see tonight.
And Weston was fully engaged tonight.
Exactly.
He played some last week.
Right.
Fully engaged tonight.
But I thought with the tackles, Ben Bell and Oliver Crow, those are two pups. Ben's a sophomore and Oliver's a junior. And they were very active tonight and or Friday night, and I thought that that's going to be a key for them. Just and as John said, you're not going to have that alpha in the middle of your front, but if those two guys can be credible, I think Ben Bell has the capability of being that alpha. Maybe not this year, but over time. But then you also, or I'm sorry, Matt Bell, excuse me. You see those guys do that, and tonight was kind of an important step for just that line to kind of find some chemistry with Thurman coming back.
Yeah, front seven for this team was unbelievable last year. So much experience. I mean, they're all got some all-staters, guys that are playing in college now. You can come back with this group. You've only got two returning starters. Thurman is a senior, hadn't played the first couple of weeks. And Max Lucas, who was first-team All-District last year, he's the those are the only two returning front seven guys. All right, you turn to what you're talking about left. You've got the sophomore, Matt Bell, and then Weston Reese, who didn't play the first game, played a little last week because of injury, then was back full-time today. But then Oliver Crow Jr., Caden Anderson Jr., he's a first-time starter tonight. He was a backup. He started tonight. Mm-hmm. Same for Nolan Garcia. Started his first game tonight. He's a junior. Just a lot of inexperience, and it's not that they're not good or not going to be good. This group hadn't played together like that group last year had. And as they go through, they got through the toughest of their district opponents. And as they go down the line, they're just going to get better because you're solid in the secondary with the corners. Your safeties, B.J. Allen's really starting to become a – you don't want him making a lot of tackles because that means they're getting past that front seven. But he's starting to become a force, I think, as a tackler. And Nathan Fingar, both of them who struggled in the first game, much more solid here in the last couple of games. This is a group that's going to grow together. And before it's all said and done, and when it really starts to count, you get to that Thanksgiving round or so, this is going to be a unit.
Well, yeah, so – the main or the only metric I think I would use coaches use for defense would be speed. Like how fast is the team playing? And so if there may be a miss, they may be absent a 300-pound tackle or 50 games started between, the linebackers or whatnot. But as long as who your top, you're going to use some depth. So your top 20 defenders, as long as they're playing full speed, I think for a coach, that's all you can ask. Are they picking up our concepts and then just – that kind of patented, relentless effort that Alito had. Not thinking, they're just playing fast. And that playing fast, playing out of 10 for four quarters will overcome so many things. I think that's what Alito's done so great. They've coached hard, and they've gotten great effort. And then in time, you'll start to put it together. Just need you playing fast. And that's what I think the defense was starting to show signs tonight.
Right. Everman next. Get the bye week coming up. Probably a pretty good time. Now they can – kind of readdress what other teams will do. And as I recall, Everman, generally they're not a team that's going to be slinging it around all over the place. But Alito can have a week where they work on Alito again. And again, when you've got a young group, especially defensively, that's nothing but a good thing. You've got all these underclassmen, juniors and sophomores that are putting in a lot of time on the field. They get some rest, work on themselves. And then next week they can start game planning for Everman, and it's an Everman team that is they're not a giant, but they always have
tough,
they're always
proud.
Competitive, they're tough, yeah, they've got they've won some state titles in the last 20 years, and they're always going to have kids that can run. Speed is never a problem at Everman.
And you're going to show these kids, the Alito kids, the tape tomorrow, and they're going to run, they're going to get all the day after game stuff. And you can grab them up and you go, some of you might have been in kindergarten, some of you might not even been in school yet, but this is the last place that these Bearcats got beat, was right. where the game's going to be next week. So you don't want to be the group to let that down. It's been a long time. And think about it, it's those kids' entire life that Alito hadn't gone over there and lost.
12 years.
My kids were in elementary school the last time Alito.
That was half my oldest life ago.
I had zero grays in any of my beard. I only had to shave every fourth day.
The streak is ridiculous, too.
84 games. Go for 85 against Everman coming up here in a couple of weeks. So, again, time to work on themselves again. And again, that's basically going to be 2 weeks where they've been able to work on themselves. I don't think I ever recall them having that kind of time, and with this group, new coach, quote-unquote, everybody's still kind of learning each other, even though Coach Buchanan's been around. Mm-hmm. But they can that working on yourself thing, especially for this kind where you can be a little introspective and because Alito is always a really always about themselves in a lot of ways in that you know, your assignment, our assignment, what we have to do, and you know, they get back to back weeks basically.
You have
to
one
do that.
Job.
That's right. That's what it is, especially with that offense tonight. Yeah. Which again, they'll see a lot of that, I think, against Midlothian coming up. But I think you know the loss hurt, no doubt, a couple of weeks ago. But that's in the past. Ultimately, has absolutely no bearing. They didn't even lose their number one ranking because that Geyer team is pretty good.
3-0.
Yeah, they're 3-0, and they're I think they may be the number 5 now in 6A. They're number 7. They may move up.
Top rusher in 6A and in the morning news as well at Cobb.
So they're good, but again, this is I think this time period right now when it's still warm and just getting into district play, having all that time to work on your own flaws without having to think about something else, especially with this young defense. Teach them the techniques. Teach them, you know, how to play the positions. Because if they're not young, some of them are just new to the position or new to the Friday Night Lights experience. Boy, that kind of stuff, you know, if you can get it where what John was talking about, where you can play fast. Well, that's where they learn to play fast is in practice, and they get more comfortable with it. And like I said, I have no worries with this group going forward that they will, as long as they can stay healthy, and that's always the way it is. They've got some room and they've got some time to learn to work together. And I think they're going to be worlds beyond where they are now, you know, come Thanksgiving.
I agree.
You good with that, John?
Works for me.
All right, let's wrap it up. That will do it for our third edition of the Post-Game Podcast. Be sure and join us each and every week. We'll have our if you haven't already clicked on it, you can also find our plays of the game, our interviews with the head coach, Tim Buchanan, and also our players of the game. Those are on there as well. So lots of Alito elements for you to enjoy through the week. You might need a little bit of a hit of this. So tell your friends and family, since it's 2 weeks till the Bearcats play from this Friday night game. You might need a little booster shot of Bearcats football.
And you zealots, here's your Tuesday dabbling of it.
That's right. KTFW website. Tell your friends. Go to the podcast page. Find the Alito stuff, and then boom, you're off and running. And we have it there each and every weekend after the games have been played. For Kevin Lonquist and John Hampton, I'm Jeff Williams. Until next time, Bearcats with another win, 2-1, and off to Everman after the bye. Have a great couple of weeks, and we'll talk to you next time when the Bearcats hit the field.